The following is an original Dixie Beacon Network program. Live from our studios deep in the heart of Georgia, you are listening to another impromptu episode of Late Night Live with Hillbilly Terry and Brother Ray. Because of the extreme volatility of this program, the following disclaimer will now be given. Neither the producers or this radio station bear any responsibility for incidences occasioned by listening to this program. Be warned that such freak occurrences as spontaneous combustion, vicious and unrelenting hives, and light bleeding of the nose can occur while listening to Late Night Live. Listener discretion is therefore advised.
All right, you're listening to another episode of Late Night Live. This is Ray McBerry, your host, and we have some special things for you on the program tonight. Before we get into our guest tonight and the topic, I want to go over just a few things that are going on in the Southern Movement this week. As many of you know, the Sons of Confederate Veterans are holding their annual SCV reunion this week in none other than the city of New Orleans. And it was already scheduled before Hurricane Katrina went through last year. And so the decision was made that we wanted to continue to support the city of New Orleans. So the reunion is actually going on and just got underway, I believe, today there in New Orleans. And we had planned to be there with the radio station, but some other things have changed that over the last month or two. So we're not going to be there live at the reunion, but there certainly is going to be a lot going on there. There will be several speakers this week that I think you'll find interesting. Some of them are running for commander or lieutenant commander and some other important offices there in the Sons of Confederate Veterans International Organization. So you want to make sure you stay abreast of that, and we'll keep you apprised of what's going on in reports here at Dixie Broadcasting all throughout the rest of the week and the weekend. And, of course, this weekend some important votes will be taking place, even considering some possible changes to the Constitution of the Sons of Confederate Veterans. So those of you involved in the Southern Movement certainly will want to stay aware of what's going on at the SCV reunion. And if you're within driving distance, or if you're able to get away and fly down to New Orleans, I'm sure they would love to have you there. And you can find out all of that information on the website for the Sons of Confederate Veterans at www.scv.org. And you'll find in just a few minutes that it's not a coincidence, it's providence, but New Orleans is going to be somewhat the topic of the show tonight. Also, you may have already received one of the notices that went out by email yesterday concerning Dixie Broadcasting. There will be some others going out this week that we are, this month, going to hit a milestone in the history of Dixie Broadcasting Radio. We are 4 years and 1 month old, and sometime this month we are projected to hit our 500,000 listener mark at Dixie Broadcasting. And so we want to say thank you to all of our listeners out there, and we have a very special promotion that is planned just in honor of this historic occasion for the radio station and for our listeners. A very special trip will be given away to some lucky listener this month at Dixie Broadcasting. So we want to say thank you for listening and helping us to reach that 500,000 listener mark in just 4 short years. And now tonight on the broadcast, we are having another Pelican Pages segment. As you know, Pelican Publishing Company is one of the largest pro-Southern publishing houses in America, and they publish not only Southern history and Southern heritage works, but they publish a variety of things that are related to regional interest. Some of them are Christian books, and some of them have to do with everything from the culinary arts to travel and leisure. But Pelican Publishing is certainly a name that's well known in the Southern Movement today, and we are glad to have them on board as one of our sponsors here at Dixie Broadcasting. And this tonight will be part of an ongoing segment that we will do on a recurring basis called Pelican Pages, where we will take one of the authors of a new book put out by Pelican Publishing and just spend some time sitting around the computer with them and listening to what they have to say, a little bit about the author, and then of course about the book as well. So tonight I will get right into it with our our guest tonight. It is Bruce Lee Smith. And Bruce is the author of a brand new book from Pelican Publishing entitled Soul Storm, Finding God Amidst Disaster. Bruce, thanks for being on the program with us tonight.
It's a pleasure to be with you. It's a great thing you guys are doing there, and it's a pleasure, I know, for all the Pelican authors to join you from time to time, and it's a privilege and a thrill for me to be with you.
Well, Bruce, I guess I want to give our folks a little bit of an idea about who you are before we actually get into the book itself. And I know that Miss Amy there at Pelican has sent me a little bit of information about your biographical sketch. You are no stranger to things that concern the Lord and wanting to have the Lord first in your life. I read that you preached your first sermon when you were 16 years old and were active in your youth group growing up.
That's right.
And by the way, do you remember anything about that first message that you preached?
That's a good question. Loaded question. Actually, I do, but probably not as much as I should.
Well, it's interesting because I was 17 years old when I preached my first sermon, and it was also in front of my youth group growing up. And just a couple of weeks ago, I actually ran across the notes that I had made for that.
Wow.
So it's we're in very similar situations there.
Yeah.
Now, I understand that growing up and even into your college years, you were anticipating the possibility of a tennis career.
Right, yeah. I played as a junior and did fairly well as a junior and didn't really get serious about it till I was 16 or 17, which is late in the game, actually, and was making a lot of progress. And when I was about 18, I had taken a year off to train for an NCAA Division I scholarship, and during that time really injured my back, and that was the end of that.
Wow. Well, the Lord certainly had other plans for you, I can tell. Now, you have you've been a teaching pastor at the Uptown Church there in New Orleans, and you also have been an investment broker for a number of years. How long were you in the investment broker business?
For most of the last decade, right at about 8 years, actually.
And now, tell me what your interest and your participation is as far as rare coins is concerned, because I saw some interesting things about that in the information Amy sent me.
Right, yeah, I specialized in the gold market, particularly historically significant rare coins. And it was really a great venture in so many ways. There's a story with every coin. There's a lot of value and intrigue to a lot of those stories. And I had the privilege and the blessing of being part of what I guess in the history books is referred to as the largest single retail transaction in the rare coin market's history. I placed a 1913 Liberty Head nickel for about $3 million.
Wow.
And that was a lot of fun, a lot of work, but a lot of fun.
Now, was that your coin that you were selling, or were you selling that for a client? Or
no, that would have been wonderful had it been my coin. It was not my coin, but no, I was working on behalf of a client.
Well, that's exciting, though. Was that the most interesting coin that you've ever dealt with?
I would have to say so. Yeah, by far. There are only five of those known to exist.
Wow.
And they've been followed. The story has been followed since the very beginning, early in the 1900s. In 1912, the Mint was actually ending the design of that Liberty Head V-Nickel and going to another design. And one of the guys there at the Mint, Samuel Brown, had these struck sort of on the sly. And then after the seven-year window of opportunity for the government to prosecute theft from the Mint, when that expired, he came to the public with these seven coins, and it's been a lot of hype and a lot of interesting twists and turns since then.
Well, I'm sure it was purely coincidence that he found those coins after the statute of limitations had expired.
That's right. Right.
Now, I know that you are a graduate. I think I understood correctly. You're a graduate of the Reformed Theological Seminary in Orlando.
I didn't graduate there. I had a major in preaching and pastoral ministry from Southeastern College in Florida, and then when I finished up there, I studied at Reformed for a while, but then actually went to my first choice for graduate school, which was Wheaton, right outside of the Chicago area, and finished everything all my coursework and started my research for my thesis. Then life took other twists and turns, and I never did get to finish my thesis.
Well, I finished my Master of Theology thesis several years ago, and I think the time that I procrastinated was a lot larger amount of time in that whole process than the amount of time I actually put into doing the project. So.
Right. Yeah, that's true for all of us.
Now, I see that you also are the father of three children and two Labrador Retrievers.
That's it.
And, well, Bruce, we're glad to have you on the program with us tonight. And we're going to take a break here in just a moment and give you a chance to catch your breath and let our listeners get settled in. When we come back, we're going to be speaking to Bruce about his new book entitled Soul Storm, Finding God Amidst Disaster. Bruce was right there in the heart of New Orleans when all of this disaster took place this past year, and his life and many others were affected by the hurricane, and now here we are approaching another hurricane season right here upon us. And so I think there are certainly some things that you will find interesting from the book. If you want to read more about the book online, you can go to Pelican Publishing's website at epelican.com. That's www.epelican.com, and look up Bruce Lee Smith, or look up the title of the book, Soul Storm, and you can read more about it right there online. But we'll be back in just a few minutes, and we'll talk about Hurricane Katrina and how it affected Bruce's life and some lessons that we can all learn from those things. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
The Almighty sent His word. The time had come, they'd have to stand and say, no king but Jesus. They shouted out the battle cry, no king but Jesus. They proudly raised His standard high, no king but Jesus. Trusting in His powerful right hand, in His army they did stand, no king but Jesus. Taking food from our children's mouths. You see, he violates the law. His pride forgoes his fall. It's time we tell this king the truth and say, no king but Jesus. We'll boldly sound the battle cry, no king but Jesus. We'll proudly raise his standard high, no king but Jesus. Trusting in his powerful right hand, in his army we will stand, no king but Jesus. No king but Jesus. We'll boldly sound the battle cry, no king but Jesus. We'll proudly raise his standard high, no king but Jesus. Trusting in his powerful right hand, in his army we will stand, no king but Jesus. In his army I will stand, no king but Jesus.
You're listening to Dixie Broadcasting, home of the Southern Heritage Music Awards.
Waking up in Dixie to the smell of sweet, sun-kissed southern air. It's a Dixie day, and as you walk out the door to face the world, a prayer's on your lips for your family and your country. No matter what you do, no matter where you go, you're wearing Dixie Outfitters. You're a shining ambassador for all that is good and glorious about Dixie. Dixie Outfitters designs carry meaningful, thought-provoking messages about our history, culture, and heritage. Nothing breaks the ice like Dixie Outfitters. If you love Dixie and want others to know why, let Dixie Outfitters speak for you with our attractive line of pro-Southern wear. Visit us at DixieOutfitters.com to browse our complete line of apparel, accessories, and other fantastic pro-Dixie theme items. While there, request a free catalog. Our friendly hometown staff is also ready to serve you by phone. So call us toll-free at 1-866-916-5866. Dixie Outfitters, because we know you take your heritage seriously.
All right, we're back at Dixie Broadcasting Live tonight. You're listening to a special episode of Late Night Live. I am Ray McBerry, your host, and we are in a Pelican Pages segment with another author from Pelican Publishing. This is Bruce Lee Smith with us tonight. He's the author of the book Soul Storm, Finding God Amidst Disaster. And by the way, as we're talking about this on the interview tonight, if you're interested in learning more about Bruce's book or maybe even ordering it online, you can go to Pelican's website at epelican.com and browse through there. You can do a search on Bruce Lee Smith on their website and it'll pull the book up, or you can look for the title of the book, Soul Storm, and it'll pull it up for you either way. Now, Bruce, we found out a little bit about you. Why don't you just tell us a little bit about the ministry that you had there in the city of New Orleans before Katrina came through, if you would.
Sure. Well, we had just begun a work in the Uptown area, Easter Sunday of last year, actually. And we were just sort of hitting our stride. We had a good group of leaders together, and when Katrina came through, it just displaced so many folks that it was impossible for us to cover. Our leaders were scattered all over the country, and it's just been real tough to put the pieces back together since then. So we're sort of in limbo, and going to see where it goes as time goes on.
So the church itself actually closed, at least for the time being, because of the disaster.
Right.
And then you were working as an investment broker there in the New Orleans area as well, and you made the decision after Hurricane Katrina to resign that position and to basically go into the ministry full-time, writing and speaking around the country. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Katrina was really the last nail in the coffin for me in terms of wrestling with the calling that God had for me in many different areas. 2005 was a very tough year. It started off tough. January 13, my grandmother, who was largely responsible for raising me and the matriarch of our family, she passed away after a battle with cancer. That was a real big blow. Just on the heels of that, I went through an unavoidable, unfortunate, and heart-wrenching divorce, became a single father of three kids, then planted this church, which was the culmination of a decade of dreaming, and watched that really fall apart in the aftermath of the storm. And all of it came to a head, and it was as if, even though I had this thriving professional life and was doing quite well for the last 8 years in the gold industry, it all sort of came together, and I knew unavoidably that I had to sit down, begin to write, and speak full-time and deal with some of the issues the Lord had been developing in me and calling me to write about and get out there and in front of people and present this message of hope.
Now, Bruce, I know that obviously your life was affected by Katrina in several different ways. For many of us that are not from the New Orleans area and are not from any kind of a hurricane area, it's a little bit difficult for us to understand exactly, what kind of changes the storm brought into people's lives. Can you just give us a synopsis of what the people there went through and what are some of the different difficulties that the people there faced because of the storm?
Yeah, early in the book, I sort of give the picture of New Orleans before the storm. And, that's the picture of a city where the arts are alive, There's music venues on end every night, professional basketball, minor league baseball, football, art museums, the symphony, on and on and on. Of course, world-famous restaurants, a city alive and thriving and so much culture. And, you know, for the most part, everyone left that on the Saturday or Sunday prior to the storm, thinking they would return in 48 hours and come back to that life they knew, and yet just a matter of hours totally transformed that environment, and they came back to, you know, you've seen the images on the television, which are pretty amazing, and they're graphic, and they are shocking, but to walk on your own 2 feet amidst that kind of rubble and disaster, knowing that every part of your life is now reoriented, where your kids go to school, if you have a job where it's going to be carried out, your network, your family, your friends, it just totally transformed in a matter of hours. It's hard to fathom.
Now, I know that you, as well as myself, and probably most of the listeners out there at Dixie Broadcasting, we believe in the providence of God. Explain to our listeners what we're talking about when we talk about the providence of God, and then tell us how could our God, in His providence, allow something like the Hurricane Katrina disaster or any other type of disaster to come into our lives. What is the purpose behind that in His providence?
Yeah. There is a famous survey that was done in the hypothetical realm where the surveyor comes to those sitting in the church pews Sunday after Sunday around the country, and he asks one simple question: what's the biggest problem, in your opinion, facing the church at this time, ignorance or apathy? Sunday after Sunday, he gets the same response, and that's basically, I don't know and I don't care. A lot of the time we live our lives that way, but it is impossible for us to live our lives that way in the midst of this kind of disaster. And it brings the big questions to the forefront. It's really what the book is about. How do we reconcile the idea of living on a planet where we claim to have a loving God, an all-powerful God, and yet so much disaster and misery around us? And that is the big question that ultimately I seek to give some sensibility to in this work. And ultimately, I think it comes down to this. We live in a broken world, and if you rewind the tape, you go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, you have to recognize that brokenness enters the world there, broken communion with God, and then through the breaking of those boundaries, brokenness of a planet. We're told in Scripture that we live on a planet that is groaning for ultimate redemption. And so, you know, when men and women make bad decisions that inflict pain on others, we recognize, hey, those are bad decisions. But it's a little bit harder when we see seemingly gratuitous disasters, natural disasters, if we don't keep in mind that all of the planet is affected by that original breaking of boundaries. And now we live in a world that's groaning for the day when all of that is redeemed. And we're not there yet.
Well, and you know, we look at things that happen all over the world, not just here. I know a lot of times we are narrow-sighted, and we only see those things happening right here at home. But the tsunamis that hit in the last couple of years over in the Pacific Asian area, and these kind of things happen all over the world. And even though many people here in America may understand, at least to some degree, about the God of the Bible and how He uses all of these things and how they are a result of original sin, you know, those folks in other parts of the world undoubtedly have a very distorted, if any, understanding of those things. So do you think there's a possibility that the Lord has been able to use those things going on in those other parts of the world, maybe to help our missionaries that are in those regions to help them come to a better understanding of who God is and what His desire is for the folks over there?
Yeah, ultimately, where I wind up in the book, I look at all the possibilities. you know, these kind of events are sent by God, allowed by God, directed by God, or they may be in complete opposition to God's purposes on this planet. Whichever one you embrace, what you cannot question is the fact that in the midst of all these disasters around the world and in all of our lives personally, God is calling people, communities, nations unto Himself. Because it is in the midst of those situations, whatever perspective you come from prior to them, in the midst of those situations, people seek ultimate answers to life on this planet. And so God woos us through those things.
Folks, you're listening to Late Night Live. This is Ray McBerry, your host, and we have Bruce Lee Smith on with us tonight. He is an author with Pelican Publishing Company. His new book, published by Pelican, is entitled Soul Storm, Finding God Amidst Disaster. He was living right there in New Orleans when Hurricane Katrina hit last year, and his book is not your typical inspirational book. It's dealing with a very practical matter, and that is the fact that all of us will go through some type of disasters in our lives at some point or another. Whether it's a hurricane or something else, all of us are going to experience those things. It's a book that not only answers how can that happen, why does that happen, but helps us to understand how biblically we ought to deal with that. And I hope that you will take the time, go to Pelican Publishing's website, and look up more information about this book. We're going to be back in just a few minutes talking to Bruce more, but if you'd like to go to Pelican's website on the break, it's epelican.com, www.epelican.com, and look up Bruce Lee Smith's name or the title of the book, Soul Storm. But you're listening to Dixie Broadcasting, Late Night Live, and we'll be right back in just a few minutes.
Thank you. more than I can be. You raise me.
Hi, this is Heidi, and you're listening to my favorite Southern station, Dixie Broadcasting. They've published some of the most well-known authors in the Southern movement, from the Kennedy Brothers to Jimmy Cantrell. Pelican Publishing Company has an incredibly diverse library of over 1,300 titles to their credit, with about 60 new titles published annually. If you like books about history, literature, humor, Cajun cooking, travel, or just about anything else, Pelican's website, ePelican.com, is the place for you. With online catalogs and secure online shopping, it's never been easier to tap into the wealth of knowledge and reading pleasure that Pelican has to offer. At ePelican.com, you can browse all of the Pelican's titles and shop for just the right book for yourself or a gift for someone else. Treat yourself today. Visit ePelican.com. That website again, ePelican.com.
All right, you heard the commercial for Pelican Publishing, and now here we are back live on the Late Night Live Show. I'm Ray McBerry, your host, and you're listening to an interview with a Pelican author on a segment of the show that we call Pelican Pages, where we bring in different authors who are published by Pelican and interview them and find out a little bit about the author themselves and about the book. Our author tonight is Bruce Lee Smith, who is the author of a new book entitled Soul Storm, Finding God Amidst Disaster. And this is a book written right as a result of Hurricane Katrina and all of the different things that affected people's lives as a result of Hurricane Katrina. But it deals with subjects that are a lot deeper than that, subjects that really get right to the heart of all of us. And Bruce, I know that we've been dealing in the interview tonight so far primarily with the things that are a result of Hurricane Katrina, but the truth is most of us are never going to live in the midst of an actual hurricane situation, but all of us are going to be affected by disasters of different sorts that come up in our lives. Why don't you just explain to our listeners and just give us some ideas of some of the different kinds of disasters that we're all going to face and how you think your book helps folks to be able to address those things that are going to come up.
Sure. Well, the book is much wider in scope than Katrina. While it finds its backbone there, that's actually a metaphor for expanding to other issues that we all face, whether it's terminal illness. Last January, I lost my grandmother to cancer early on in my life. I watched my stepfather die at 27 years old after a grueling battle with cancer. Dealt with the issues that exist for anyone who grows up in a broken home. My mom divorced my dad when I was two and saw very little of him after that. There are so many issues that all of us really feel the weight of this metaphor, this storm metaphor in our lives. Broken relationships, broken homes, broken bodies, and broken spirits. So it's something we all relate to on a day-to-day basis, and that's really why I felt compelled to write this book, to help folks really manage the rebuilding efforts in the wake of those kind of storms.
And Bruce, I know that with Hurricane Katrina and with any other kind of difficulties that people encounter, the world has its own set of answers and solutions to life's difficulties that invariably deal with everything except the Lord and a biblical solution or a biblical answer to that. And your book doesn't do that. Your book makes it very clear that the Lord is the answer. He is the hope that's there. And, you know, I found myself in a very similar situation to yourself just several years ago. I, too, am a single dad with a little boy who's about to turn 5 years old. And, you know, we go through things that we never expect are going to come up, and they pop up at the most unexpected times. And sometimes there's just absolutely nothing you can do to prevent those things from happening. If they're going to happen, sometimes they're out of our control. And, you know, I just, Bruce, to be honest with you, I do not know what folks without the Lord do at times like that.
Yeah, and then that should be, you know, the message of the church. Unfortunately, for a lot of different reasons that this is probably not the setting to get into, we often communicate to people that, you know, upon getting some sort of understanding of faith in God, then life just becomes a bed of roses, and you know, the good, healthy, strong Christian American goes from victory to victory and health to health and wealth to wealth. And that's not reality. It's not the reality of our experience, and it's certainly not the reality of the biblical testimony. If you look at any of the quote-unquote biblical heroes, they are heroic for withstanding enormous storms with integrity and grace and poise and finding God in the middle of them. And that's what this book is about. It's not about avoiding these kind of difficulties. It's not about refusing to accept that they are here and that they're going to continue to come. It's about how you withstand them with strength and grace and character.
And Bruce, your book really is it's a message of hope, because there is a God out there who has the help that we need in times of trouble. And you also, you know, by inference, allude to the fact that Hurricane Katrina and all these other disasters that crop up in our lives, they really bring out the best and the worst of people. It's all in how you respond to the crisis that comes up, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. We were all shocked, I think, when we saw those images in the midst of the ravaging effects of Katrina, where we saw people just seemingly mindless in their activities, looting. I mean, stealing Nike tennis shoes and radios and television. And I make reference to that in the book. We're all sort of watching CNN and gasping and thinking to ourselves, where are they going to go? There's no dry land on which to run in the new tennis shoes.
Mm.
There's no basketball courts available to play on. There's no electricity in which to plug in the radios and then the televisions, and we were all just stunned. And you know, tragedy can bring out the worst in us, but then again, there are those moments where people who find God in the midst of disaster, great things happen. I tell the story of one storm hero who was part of that difficult setting, where, you know, growing up without any kind of image of stability and character and living on the streets and living a rough life, yet in the midst of Katrina, he found himself, instead of looting and doing some of the things his friends were doing, he saved 50 people from the storm, from
wow.
death, and spent days wading through water chest high, bringing food and water to people who couldn't get it otherwise. So there are moments of God's grace in the middle of all that as well.
And of course, this has opened up doors for people all over the country, especially all over the Southeast, to to be able to respond with Christian charity to those who are in need. And we've seen, I think, maybe an awakening within a number of people across America of that idea, that concept of Christian charity. And many people I know become so dependent upon the government to take care of all their answers, all their needs. It's refreshing to see that it became very obvious to most of us that the government is totally inadequate to take care of man's needs, even his basic needs when it comes to natural disasters and other types of things. And it was refreshing to see people beginning to speak openly, even in the media, about the need for a dependency upon God and this Christian charity among Americans, too.
Yeah, that is one of the amazing things, especially for those of us who are down here in this area. And still now, a year later, groups are coming in and week out by the droves. The church that I attend, we still have 75 people a week flying in or driving in, sleeping on the floor of the churches and in campers, and then going out and rebuilding homes and extending help. And that's happening all over the city, thousands upon thousands every week. And, you know, these are the kind of moments when we finally get to see the model of the church set up in Acts chapter 2 that we all should be seeing, even when these kind of scenarios are not in play. I mean, that's what makes the church compelling.
And I know I've heard a number of pastors say at different times that when it's the darkest, that's when Christians are able to shine the brightest with the gospel, and for it to be obvious that there is a difference. And certainly when crisis situations occur, those are the times when Christians can make the biggest difference in people's lives.
Yeah, and you said something a moment ago that I really sort of try and hammer home in the book. You know, in the middle of this, something this enormous in scope, the geographic scope of the storm is just, I mean, it's hard to comprehend. And then the financial part of it and the human toll and on. We realize as Americans, the last remaining superpower in the world and all of our affluence and excess, in these kind of moments, we realize, really, government does not have the answer. There is only one answer in the middle of this kind of crisis. And we really figure out just how susceptible we are to forces bigger than ourselves.
And in your book, Bruce, as you're giving your concluding remarks, I don't want to by any means give away all the good parts of the book. I couldn't do that in this interview anyway. But there's one thing, as I was reading your book, that one paragraph in particular that really captivated me. And you're talking in the book in these concluding thoughts about the impact upon America as a whole, the moral heart of America, I guess, and with all these things that happened as a result of Katrina. And you're mulling over with the reader these different moral issues of the day that America's dealing with, such as abortion and euthanasia and so forth. And I want to read just this one paragraph, and then
sure,
if you want to add something to your own words, you can do that. But I think
sure,
the readers need to hear it, or the listeners. This is on page 204 of Bruce's book, Soul Storm. He says, "Sobering words are found in the writings of Viktor Frankl, who survived the madness of the death camps," talking about during World War II. In The Doctor and the Soul, he wrote, quote, "I am absolutely convinced that the gas chambers of Auschwitz, Treblinka, and Majdanek were ultimately prepared not in some ministry or other in Berlin, but rather at the desks and in lecture halls of nihilistic scientists and philosophers," end quote. These are important words for a culture wrestling with the debates over abortion, euthanasia, and stem cell research. God is speaking amidst our disasters. Are we listening? Are we willing to change? Can we rebuild a better way? Now, you want to take that, Bruce, and add a little to that?
Yeah, we talked earlier about, you know, what message does come from these kind of events, regardless of the culture you're in, regardless of what socioeconomic setting you're in. These kind of events reach all of us. And Ravi Zacharias, who's a brilliant thinker out of Atlanta, actually, I quote him just a couple pages before, and he sort of capsulizes it in his comments about Nietzsche, who lived a life trying to embrace the idea that God is, quote-unquote, dead or doesn't exist. And he writes in one of his books, he says, God has been barred from the institutions that determine society's thinking and behavior. I, for one, see Nietzsche's life and death as a blueprint for where we are headed, inexorably as a nation, having committed ourselves to an anti-theistic form of government and education. And, you know, I go on to make the case that here in the quote-unquote Christian nation, you know, wanting God's hand, when we try to put our thumbprint on other parts of the world, wanting God's blessing here at home, wanting the affluence we've become so accustomed to, we want all those things of God, yet we don't seem to be nearly as passionate about His truth. And when any culture turns away from an absolute truth founded upon His principles, we open ourselves up more and more to disasters from which we cannot recover, morally, spiritually, economically, physically, and otherwise. And I hope we will awaken again to those realities.
And Bruce, we're following the same catastrophic line of history that Europe has already gone through when they gave way to the rationalist of higher criticism and left God out of everything, and here we are following right in their path after seeing the results of that upon Western civilization in Europe. Well, folks, you're listening to Late Night Live. I'm Ray McBerry, your host. In just a few minutes, we'll be back with one final segment with Bruce Lee Smith, who is the author of Soul Storm, a new book put out by Pelican Publishing. And you know Pelican Publishing best for such titles in the Southern Movement as The South Was Right by the Kennedy Brothers and The New Rise of the Old South by Rob Thornton. But Pelican puts out a lot of other types of books that are of interest to folks. This is a book that is greatly needed in our day and time, how to deal with crisis situations that arise in our lives. Pelican also puts out books to deal with a wide variety of interesting things, regional culinary interests, travel and leisure across the South, and many other types of books. So I encourage you to go to Pelican Publishing's website and take a look at all the different books that they have. You can find Bruce's book, Soul Storm, on there by doing a quick search as well. You can even order it online. Their website is www.epelican.com. We'll be back in just a minute with a final segment, so stay tuned. If you haven't written down the name of the book yet, then get something out and write it down before we're out of here. We'll be right back.
And hear God's words rain down from high and proclaim freedom for old Caroline. Let the church bells ring, hear the voices sing. It's the sound that freedom brings, and the gray ghost ride into the night and bring back the glory of old Caroline. To our Father in heaven, your sons do weep. Your daughters are crying. Their souls you'll keep. And there come a time when smiles will shine, with freedom glowing in old Caroline. And the gray ghost of heaven stand guard for old time.
Dixie Outfitters is proud to be the title sponsor here at Dixie Broadcasting.
In these uncertain times, you owe it to yourself and your family to invest in the only medium that will hold its value during times of crisis, precious metals. And reputation matters when you're dealing with your own personal investment. That's why you should consider Atlantic Bullion & Coin, an established firm owned by past Commander-in-Chief Ron Wilson of the Sons of Confederate Veterans, a trusted name in the Southern Movement, and a member of the South Carolina State Board of Education. Atlantic Bullion & Coin offers gold, silver, and platinum in both bullion and collectible coins, and at affordable prices. There's also an online store of Southern and pro-Constitution books and other resources which will educate and encourage you to continue the struggle for liberty. Atlantic Bullion & Coin is a friend of the Southern Movement, and you can hear owner Ron Wilson's Straight Talk program right here on Dixie Broadcasting Monday through Friday. Click on the link to Atlantic Bullion & Coin where you can view the products and sign up to receive the free Precious Metals Market Update. That's AtlanticBullionAndCoin.com.
But we are having a Pelican Pages segment of Late Night Live tonight. This is Bruce Lee Smith, an author of a brand new book from Pelican Publishing entitled Soul Storm, Finding God Amidst Disaster. And this is our last segment with Bruce, so we want to give him plenty of time to let us know what we need to know about the book and where he's going to be coming up. Now, Bruce, I know that you obviously chose Pelican Publishing to publish this book for a reason. So just share with us how you came to be familiar with Pelican and why you chose them.
Sure. Well, a lot of us in the area are, of course, very familiar with Pelican. They've been around for a long time and done some neat work. And so I was aware of them as I was writing. And as I mentioned earlier, the vision for this book really comes after a lifetime of dealing with these issues, but particularly 2005. And I just sensed in the wake of Katrina that it was really my purpose to drop everything else and really sit down and work on this. So I wrote basically around the clock for 4 months nonstop.
Wow.
Without having gotten an agent, without even contacting a publisher. I just had the sense that perhaps people might get something of value from the book. So I took a big risk and did nothing but write for 4 months and finished the whole manuscript and nothing other than Providence. Got an agent early on. We talked about, you know, how to go about finding the right publisher. Early on, I really thought it sure would be great to get someone in the area to help contribute to the rebuilding and have just that symbolic link to a publisher of merit from this area. And they took a look at it. They really liked what they saw, apparently, and it just felt like a really good fit.
Well, that's great. And I know many of our listeners are already familiar with Pelican Publishing anyway. It certainly has a good reputation in the Southern Heritage community, and we're just glad that you found them and they found you and the Lord put it all together.
Right.
Now, your book is a little bit unusual in that it has an extra special treasure attached to the inside cover of the back of the book. Why don't you tell our listeners about that?
Right. It comes in a special edition format, which is the book and the CD. The CD is entitled After the Storm. And this is a project done by Steve Seiler, who's a Dove Award-winning songwriter out of Nashville. He's done stuff that no doubt many of your listeners would be aware of, but just didn't know it was him. He's written songs for Kenny Loggins and all sorts of folks. After the Storm, he put together this 19-track CD, which includes some phenomenal music and musicians, but also a handful of Katrina survivor interviews that are just very, very engaging. And he now has founded this nonprofit called Music for the Soul that does subject specific CDs to reach people who are dealing with brokenness issues. It's a fantastic addition to the book, I think.
Now, tell us a little bit about where you're going to be, maybe for the next few days or the week or so, if you can, Bruce. I know you have had a number of book signings already across the Southeast, and you have more coming up.
Yeah, it's been great. We've been as far as Denver and leaving early tomorrow morning to head to North Carolina. I'll be speaking for 3 days at the Associate Reformed Presbyterian Church in Gastonia, North Carolina. I'll be there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Then we'll make our way back here, and we've got a number of things lined up for August. We'll be at the Sam's in Kenner and the Sam's in Metairie, both of those places on the 19th. And then on the 26th, we'll be in Baton Rouge at the Sam's Club there. September is very busy as well. And we'll be, let's see, on the 16th, we're going to be in Hammond at the Sun Life Bookstore. And let's see here, where else do they have me going? Orlando, there's a conference. So we're kind of just scrambling and trying to get the word out and hoping people will really embrace the message and find a great deal of hope.
And now, Bruce, do you have a website for yourself or for the book that you could give our listeners?
Yeah, the website is soulstormsite.com. Soulstorm, just like the book, S-O-U-L-S-T-O-R-M, site, S-I-T-E, .com.
And I assume that they can probably, our listeners can probably look and see where those upcoming book signings are. Is that right?
That's right. Go to the news page. You'll see all that's going on in radio and news stuff and signings and speaking engagements. All that's there.
Well, Bruce, I want to thank you for being on the Late Night Live show with us tonight. And certainly we hope that the book continues to do as well as it has out of the gate. And we want to thank you for putting your heart into this book to help other people.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you. And if there's a few more seconds, I'd love to read you one paragraph that I think sort of capitalizes the message of the book.
Please do.
On page 107, this is relating to the story of Lazarus and then the death of dreams and God's ability to resurrect us. It says, no matter how long we have struggled, no matter how low we may find ourselves, no matter how bad our situation may look, no matter how dead we may seem, no matter how bad the stench may be, God is able. He is able to bring hope from the grave. He's able to rebuild the soul of any man, woman, boy, girl, city, hamlet, county, state, or nation. He is still near, and he longs to say that word again, unbind. In one word, he can turn death upside down. In one word, he can turn our lives right side up. In a word, he can change things. As the great hymn tells us, he is our hope and our help. Martin Luther penned the powerful and profound words long ago, yet they are still sound today. He is still our God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. That's the message of Soul Storm.
And folks, that's Bruce Lee Smith. Again, the title of his book, Soul Storm, Finding God Amidst Disaster. We appreciate you listening to us tonight here at Late Night Live on Dixie Broadcasting. And for myself, Ray McBerry, and our guest, Bruce Lee Smith, and my host, my co-host, Hillbilly Terry, who's not with us tonight, let us remind you that as we always leave you with some parting words, without Christ, there is no victory. Stay tuned. There's plenty more coming up tonight on Dixie Broadcasting, and we'll be back with you again on another Late Night Live show real soon. Thank you, and God bless.
They have published some of the most well-known authors in the Southern Movement, from the Kennedy Brothers to Jimmy Cantrell. Pelican Publishing Company has an incredibly diverse library of over 1,300 titles to their credit, with about 60 new titles published annually. If you like books about history, literature, humor, Cajun cooking, travel, or just about anything else, Pelican's website, ePelican.com, is the place for you. With online catalogs and secure online shopping, it's never been easier to tap into the wealth of knowledge and reading pleasure that Pelican has to offer. At ePelican.com, you can browse all of the Pelican's titles and shop for just the right book for yourself or a gift for someone else. Treat yourself today. Visit ePelican.com. That website again, ePelican.com.